Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Crown Talk and Drum Radio Network, and A New Beginning, Ambassador for Christ, your host, Deacon Wes Armstrong. Our disclaimer is as follows. The views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talk and Drum Radio Network are solely those of the host, guests, and callers. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talk and Drum Radio Network, its management, or the hosts, or advertisers. And again, welcome to the Crown Talk and Drum Radio Network and the Ministry of A New Beginning, Ambassadors for Christ, your host, Deacon Wes Armstrong. Now, apparently, I've just been so busy. We have a family visiting from the West Coast here in North Carolina. And my wife and I, we've been so busy until I still work part-time 9 to 3. And I didn't set aside time to come up with a topic or guest this evening. But, okay, I'm going to do this right here. All right, okay. Let's see. I think I'm going to try this. I heard this spoken about once upon a time, and I believe what I'll do, I'll put it out there. Those listening, if you want, you help me out. And, you know, all right, this is it. Adam, where are you? Okay. The topic will be, Adam, where are you? And, of course, if anyone recognizes that, it's about Adam in the garden when he had disobeyed God and he was hiding. And the voice of God was heard to say, Adam, where art thou? And Adam was hiding. He had sinned, and that was the beginning of his end of just enjoying the pleasures of the garden of Eden, paradise, in other words, okay? So now, what I'll do, excuse me. Okay, so what I'll do, okay. We're going to have a prayer and then introduction. I'll open the mic for those that have called in to speak a word or so. Okay. Whatever situation there is that's going around us and our own situations and issues and families and, you know, people, the innocent caught up in the world, not having anything to do with war or anything like that, but it's brought about this famine, there's degradation, there's war, you know, there's pestilence. There's just a lot of stuff going on in the entire world, whereas since we live in America, it seems like it almost seems as though it's not affecting us, because most people here in this country, they almost got it like that, but it's not. Behind the scenes, there are things going on. We're not being told everything. We're being used and abused by certain authorities. There's wickedness in high places. Just that simple. Wickedness in high places. Okay? All right, let's pray. Most High God in heaven and in earth and underneath the earth, we honor you and truly thank you for the time that you have given us. Thank you for all blessings, Father God, in heavenly places. Thank you for allowing us, Lord God, another day. Thank you, Father God, for protecting us and watching over us and keeping us, Father God. Thank you for your spirit, Lord. Thank you, Father God, truly for being there for us when we are in need, Lord God. Not that we get everything that we want, but You said you never leave us nor forsake us. And David said he never saw the righteous forsaken or begging bread. So we depend on you, Lord God. Turn our lives over to you. Separate ourselves from the world. And we have to live in the world, but we do not have to become a part of the world and all the chaos that's involved. And we truly thank you, Father God. We give you the honor. Because me, as your child, Father God, and those who are listening, children of God, we know of you, Father God, and we cling to you and your word. We believe your word is true, Father God. I know I helped me in certain areas of my life years ago, and you did. And I cling to that, Father God. I don't dismiss it as a free pass to do whatever I want to do or to pass along to the next person that you know, you can do whatever you want. God, he'll bring you out of whatever situation you're in. It's just not that way. But I truly thank you, Father God, that I gave up the world. And I want the next man to know that God is there for you also. No matter where you are, what you're going through, God will provide. And, of course, there are things in life that we're subject to. Word in Scripture tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust. So we're not in a point or place to where it's bad things don't happen to good people. It happens to everyone. But you are there for us, Father God, and we thank you. We pray for those people that are caught up, Father God, those people that have lost their homes, those people that have been flooded out, those people who have not been able to pay mortgage and rent on their home, Father God, and they have been put out. We pray, Father God, for them because by the grace of God, had it not been the grace of God, there goes I. We truly honor you, God, and thank you for the time you've given us once again. We give you the praise. Bless this ministry tonight, Father God. Those listening, those giving comments, Father God, we ask you, Father God, to lead and guide us into all truth. And we'll base this on Scripture and honor you, Father God, because had it not been for you, we would be lost. We would not be. And we thank you, truly thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay. All right. Let me, I'm going to open up the mics for those that want to say anything or they have an issue they'd like to talk about. And we can do that for them. Okay. All right. Oh, hey, good evening. And I believe this is Ms. Martin.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Oh, I'm coming along. Coming along. Hope you're doing well.
Honey, I'm fabulous. The Lord is so wonderful.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And especially in your condition, your circumstances, and even my circumstances. I'm not worried. I have been diagnosed with prostate cancer, but I'm not worried. I'm not worried, you know. I'm not running around here trying to find a cure or medicine that's going to help me too. I'm just going to depend on God, you know. He's blessed me.
Amen. I agree with you.
I'm sure with you, the same thing, because I know your circumstances. Someone else on the that has called in on the line may not know your circumstances, but God is real. And since he brought me out of that addiction, I've been, you know, I had fibroid issues for so many months. They thought I was going to die. I had five lung collapses back to back to back. And now I have the prostate cancer, but I still believe in God. I still believe he's going to bring me to. Yes. And Ms. Margaret, I'm sure that you're being propped up by him also and his word because of your circumstances.
Oh, yes.
If you'd like to put that out there real quick for those that are listening and how God is helping you come through.
Honey, I tell you, honestly, I just can't stop praising because in the last 3 days, I was able to lift up off the bed and be able to get up to what, like 5-6 inches off the bed. All of my legs and stuff, everything with my knees off the bed. So he's preparing me to stand. And I praise him because he's doing it by me. It's him. I'm telling you, he is so wonderful. I can't walk right now, but I will walk.
Yes. God has made, God is not slack concerning his promises. He made some promises for his people. And we have to serve him in order for us to get things from him. Those most important things we need in life, he knows. And real quick, what was it, 6 years ago, this thing happened?
It'll be 6 years in December.
6 years
right
in December?
Right now, it's 5 years and 6 months.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. And for those listening that don't know, Ms. Margaret, she was stricken by stroke. All these years ago, God is truly blessing her right now to be able to regain or her body to restore functioning of parts of her body. And that's it. You know, and God, he's still working miracles, no matter what people say. You know, he's still doing it. He is still doing it. Okay?
I am evidential proof. I am proof that he's still doing it.
Yes. And
because 3 months ago, I couldn't lift my left arm up, and then my left shoulder up to sit up, and then I can.
Mm-hmm.
By the grace of God.
Yes, truly by the grace of God. That's right. Praise God. Well, truly, thank you. And as I mentioned a little earlier, I really didn't have a topic, but I put a little something out there, and we'll discuss that unless you or the next caller has something they want to put out there and speak on. I don't have a problem with that. This is a free platform. We're just keeping it spiritual, okay? Let's check in with them, okay? Talk to you in a little bit.
Okay.
All righty. Okay. All right. Blessings. Good evening. Caller, would you have a comment, or is there something that you'd like to speak on, or something that you're going through that you'd like to share with us? This is voluntarily, of course. Blessings. Any comment? It's not mandatory. Okay. All right. Okie doke. I'll put you on mute for the time being. Okay. All right. To God be the glory. And as I mentioned a little earlier, I just got so much stuff written down here, and I came across it. Adam, where art thou? Okay. This is God. The voice of God had walked in the garden in the cool of the day and commune with Adam. And Adam was able to commune with him. So this is where Adam and his wife, or should I say Eve, Adam's wife, and Adam, they ate of the tree that was in the midst of the garden. God had told Adam, he gave the law to Adam, not to Eve. And the way it seems is that Adam did not tell Eve of this law. That's why she was not affected, but Adam was affected when he took from his wife and ate. And both their eyes were open, and they realized that they were naked. Okay? Now, what happened was that Eve, his wife, she got caught up with the serpent. she got caught up with the serpent. Okay? Now, I'm going to do a little bit of that and a couple of scriptures. And we'll go from there, okay? All right. Let's see, that scripture here is, all right, it's, it's basically under a heading of the temptation of Eve, okay? Now, this is in Genesis 2, chapter 3, okay? Genesis 2, chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, see, she got the word all mixed up right there. And my interpretation of it is that you shall not eat of it. No such thing as shall you touch it, lest you die. But and the day that thou eats of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, thou shalt surely die. Now, this was a spiritual death. This wasn't physical death, spiritual death, because it's a disobedience toward God. Okay, now, okay. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to their eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. Now, she had heard the word, but like I said, the word was given to Adam. Now, Adam may have told her what's going on with this tree in the midst of the garden. But as I said, Eve, she ate of it and nothing happened. Now, only when Adam ate of it, that's when they had sinned and their eyes were opened to sin. Okay? Now, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Okay, now, this is verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Okay. Now, it wasn't that God didn't know where they were. God knew exactly where Adam and Eve were. He knew exactly. But God, he confronts us in our state, whatever state that we're in, you know. Now, Adam, he was the first man. He was perfect. There was nothing wrong with Adam whatsoever. Perfect. And Eve was perfect also. But the snake, not necessarily the snake, the serpent, he got into the snake. And Eve was talking to the serpent. Eve was talking to the serpent. You know, and what I get from that is that nowadays, that was back in the garden. Nowadays, you can't talk to snakes. Snakes can't talk. They can't talk. But people are talking to them on the regular, like it ain't no thing. Oh, it's okay. You know, oh, God, he made the snake. You know, he can talk too. But what it is that that creature, he gets into people. He gets into people. And like the word said, he was more subtle. The creature was more subtle than any other, anything else in the field, you know? So, in other words, slick, sly, and smart. So, they had sinned after they ate the fruit. That's why they hit themselves. Now, it's not necessarily an apple, because my Bible does not say apple. It does not say pear. It does not say banana. It says fruit, okay? It says fruit. And because of that, them eating this fruit in the garden, that was the beginning of the fall of man. That's when man fell, when God gave Adam the law. Adam, he disobeyed God, and that was the beginning of the fall of man. Okay? All right. Now, okay, now, chapter 3, verse 11, Genesis. Chapter 3, verse 11. And he says, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hadst thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now, see, first thing, Adam didn't stand up and take responsibility. He wanted to put the blame on his wife. Okay? Now, like I said, God gave Adam the law. Even though Eve knew of some of the law, which she quoted not long ago, the burden was on Adam because he was made first, and then the woman was in man already, and God brought her out with the rib. So Adam wanted to blame the woman, okay? And then and that's what he said. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So see, the responsibility, didn't want to accept the responsibility. They wanted to bounce it off to the next person or the next being, okay? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Then the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all beasts of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Okay? Then he said unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Now, this wasn't about no eat no beef instead of pork. This tells you right here, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So, again, Adam, where art thou? You know, that's it. Adam, where art thou? And it's just like today. Adam, where are you? Man, where are you? You know, man is missing in his duties, his responsibilities father children. He's missing in responsibility to go to work, to take care of his family. He's missing in responsibilities to marry a woman instead of hanging out with other men and desiring other men. Adam, where are you? And this is... there's nothing new under the sun. Everything's the same over and over and over from the beginning up until now. Nothing new. So God knew. He is omniscient, omnipotent, and he is omnipresent. That means God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing, knowledge, and wisdom, and he's everywhere. You know, just because we can see and perceive whatever we see, we don't see God. So we think, oh, God, he can't see this. You know, I'm hiding over here, you know. But God sees it all. He hears it all. He knows all. From each and every one of us, there are billions of people in the world. And I'm sure God has called Adam, where art thou? Even though the man's name is not Adam. But, you know, was out in the world once upon a time doing all kind of stuff, you know. And it's almost like, you know, what are you doing? My inner self would tell me, what are you doing? You don't have to do this. You know, you weren't created for this, to do treat people like this or to do these acts, you know. But I felt within myself that this is my body. I can do whatever I want to with it, you know. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You know, hey, if God don't like what I'm doing, he can strike me dead right now, you know. And that was the attitude didn't want to take responsibility for not taking care of my wife, didn't want to accept responsibility for not taking care of my kids, not taking responsibility for being with them. They're just up and left them, you know, because of my desires, you know. But there are three things. It started in the garden. Like Eve said, let me get them real quick. Okay. Here it is right here. All right. Okay. All right. Here it is right here. Genesis 3 and 6. There are three things there. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And like I said, ain't nothing new under the sun. From the beginning, things have been the same, basically, ever since the beginning of humanity. And Eve, she said, Genesis 3 and 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good to the eyes, that's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, that's the pride of life. That's those three things right there, basically. And they have been, man has been going through those things over and over and over in life. And nowadays, it's like, man, he's more important than God. He wants to be a number one. He wants to be over people. He wants to give commandments, so to speak. These are laws that man is coming up with, and they're similar to God's commandments. Because in the beginning, God, he commanded Adam some things, you know, and that was God's law, the law of God. And basically, it was a way to live. It was a way to live. And man has just thrown them away and come up with his own commandments, laws, that is, for us to live by and him to live by. And it's only because of what he wants to do. He wants to try to cover himself with a law so he can do what he wants to do and for his people, his friends, and what they call constituents. You know, these are the things people do. People call the senators and congressmen, and they tell them, yo, look here, this is what we want to do. This is what we want you to bring before the floor, you know, talk about this. We want bills passed concerning this and that, you know. And here now there's an issue with oh, God, what is it? They're changing up the boundaries for the voting laws. And it's against, it's against the laws of, God knows, I can't get it right now. But the voting rights, it's against the voting rights bill that was passed, back in the 60s, where everybody's equal to vote. You know, they didn't want people of color to vote in this country. And now they're thinking they can get around it again by changing up the boundaries. You know, they just come up with the stuff. And people, it's not that they ask people or people have asked them to do this. No, it's because they are the ones in control of the system. And most times what they say is what's happening, you know. We can call the congressman and say, hey, we want you to save Social Security. You know, hey, they want to get rid of it. That's a whole lot of money, guys. You know what I'm saying? But that would be falling right into the hands of the future, which in part of Revelation it says that every man will have the mark of the beast in his hand or in his forehead, and if he doesn't, he can't sell or buy. So in other words, if you can't sell or buy, most people, they'll get the mark. And what they'll do, they think they can't, you know, buy and sell without the mark. And of course, these are people who are not consistent with serving God. These are people that say, man, I got to take that mark. I got to have food for my kids, you know. Or what am I going to eat, you know? And I'm thinking this is going to work against a lot of young people. A lot of young people now, as they grow older in their generation, it's going to come a time where they don't have any knowledge. about any of this. It's in the book, but they don't understand. They don't want to go to church and listen to the preacher preach on this and Bible study where they can learn and ask questions about what's going on. Most young people these days, they're taking advantage of the situation. Okay, I go get saved or say I'm saved. I'm a Christian, and then boom, all of a sudden, here I go. I'm good, I'm saved, like everybody else. Everybody else saved, I'm saved too. I'm going to heaven. It don't work like that, It's just like becoming an adult. We have to work at it. If we don't work at it, our bodies will mature, but we're still kids mentally, We can be male and female. There's a lot of young girls are now. They look like females. They look like women now. They look like, they look like mature women, but they're still children, in the mind. And see, if we don't work on that, we'll wind up being children in a mature body and we don't know what's going on. We have no knowledge of nothing. And the way things are these days, a lot of the young people, they're just caught up with whatever comes down the pipe. They're jumping on the bandwagon, It's what they want to do, Oh, so-and-so doing it. I want to do it too. And that reminds me of the, what's that? The people of Israel, the Hebrews, the Israelites, God's people. Now, in the beginning, God separated these people from Abraham. He separated these people, and through the generations, these people were supposed to be separate from the world, serving God. God had everything for them, everything. But after so long, they wanted to be like the rest of the world, was their king. But they wanted a king like all other peoples and nations. And to me, I don't know. If God shows me a whole lot of miracles, and he considers me one of his children, I want to be a part of that. I don't want to fall back into the world because of what they got, Let me stay with God after seeing all these miracles and how he's taking care of his people and this and that. And, it got to the point where they were stiff-necked. After they were delivered out of Egypt, they wanted their own way. They saw the miracles God did and everything, but they wanted to do their own thing. So God made them wander in the desert. What's that, 40 years? He made them wander in the desert when it only took, maybe 40 days to get to the promised land. But see, they were stiff-necked. They complained all the time. They wanted their own way, even though God was performing miracles and keeping them protected. Because the word says, even the sandals on their feet, they never wore out. But these people, they want to be like everybody else, But God did it. God had them wandering in the wilderness like he didn't know which way to take them. But God knew. He knew. Because when the last one died out, the last one that complained and carried on, they were ready to go into the promised land. And the promised land was right there. Right there. They can see it, But this is how it is in the world. Just like I said in the beginning, God, he gave Adam the law, and a normal thing for God to commune with Adam, because the word says, the voice of God walked in the cool of the day looking for Adam. And where was Adam? Wasn't nowhere to be found. He was hiding. And just like today, where are men at? Men are having relations with other men, Men are just doing in and everything there is in the world, not taking responsibility for themselves, Having a girlfriend, she's having babies all over the place, one or two or three or four, not getting married. That's a responsibility to get married and to take care of that woman and those children that you have by her. So it's just like God saying today, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? You're not where you should be, you're irresponsible, you're lazy, you know, you're just filled with sin. Your mind is filled with wanting to do more and more sin day by day by day, and God's not even on his heart or even on his mind, you know. Sundays come, oh, no, I ain't got to go. I'm saved. I don't have to go to church. You know what I'm saying? But to God be the glory, you know. Push come to shove, as the Bible tells us, when time is over, time is over. In the book of Revelation, when time is over, there is no recourse. When the Holy Ghost is taken up out of here, it's going to be what they would say, hell in the camp. It's really going to be something, you know, because the devil's going to have, he's going to have run of the whole world, straight up, without the Holy Ghost. Ain't nobody able to get saved during that time. Nobody. Too late. And men, I guess men are going to come seeking the Lord. They're going to be found. You know, time will have ran out. And men are probably going to be saying, like God was asking Adam, Adam, where art thou? Men are going to be asking, Lord, where are you? You know, it'll be too late. It's going to be way too late. But, Margaret, you have any comments, hon?
Well, I do. Just, they cut me off for 3 minutes. I had to call back in. But anyway,
Yeah.
Know, Adam, where are you? It's just a travesty to have to think about the people today and the things that we, you know, the devil is out there running around trying to get as much as he can because, you know, that his time is up. It's not almost up. It's up. And he's trying to get as much as he can. And so he's using any and everybody to do any and everything.
That's right. Yeah. And people are falling into a trap. Go ahead.
Just like that 6-year-old kid that shot that teacher.
I mean,
he's a 6-year-old kid.
Wow. Yeah. And you know, as they were talking about on another program this past week, the family has been taken out of the way. The young people, they don't want to do what the family is doing. They want to do their own thing. Parents are allowing them to do their own thing, go out and hang out with their friends. But as we see on the news and wherever else, one of those young people gets shot down out there 3-4 in the morning, you know, there goes a parent. Oh, that's my baby. He was a sweet boy. He was a good boy. First thing, why is he out there 3 or 4 in the morning? You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And the parents, they don't know what their children are doing. But, see, they're crying because these are young. They're young. That's why they're crying. But they didn't teach them nothing. You know? They give them leave to go where they want to go. And you never know if the kid got a gun in his room or not. Our people don't go in their child's room searching and checking nothing out. It's almost like they're scared of what they might find. You know?
Yes.
But, you know, it's a thing to where as, the time is running out, you know, and people, just like back in the day, before they wrote the Bible, after Jesus left, they've been saying, you know, the end of the world is coming. But see, we have to understand that God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, they do not live in time. Or exist in time.
No.
Time means nothing to them. But see, to man, time was given to us in life. Our days are numbered. You know? Yeah. And most people, they're just chilling, doing their thing. You know? They say, oh, man, you know, I ain't no alcoholic. I'm just having a couple of drinks of wine, you know. But people don't understand after a minute, if something jumps off in their family, something jumps off in their life, where are they going? They're going to run to that bottle, you know. I was there, so I know. I know y'all. I know. And it was a family member that offered drugs to me. And, you know, I told myself, well, I said, well, look here. I can't get high off this stuff. But let me show you. Let me show you. That's what I was told. So I messed around and I was on the edge of going over or not dealing with this at all. But it got to the point where as me and this family member were kind of close, and they said, well, let me show you. So I allowed them to take control over my life, and I got stuck on this drug. You know what I'm saying? Instead of me standing up and saying no, I done seen too much stuff on the news where these young girls are killing their mother, and these young kids, 10, 12, and 13, they're out there selling this stuff. I knew it wasn't right, but I was slack and part of the world doing what the world was doing, and I got caught up, you know? I got caught up for almost 30, got caught up for almost 40 years out of my life, you know, almost 40. And now I think, man, shit, God knows, if I wouldn't have did this or wouldn't have did, it's too late now. Make the best of what God has allowed me to have, you know? So God can call and say, Brother West, where are you? I said, I'm here, Lord. I'm here. I'm here. You know, I can't deny him. If he wants me to do his will, that's what I'm supposed to do. Want to or not, or if it sounds right, or I have to do what he wants me to do, because his son came into the world. He died for all of us before we were even born, you know?
And, before we even thought of that.
Right. Way a long time, you know what I'm saying? But God knew. He knew this time. He knew this time was coming, and he knew what we would do or what I would do, you know, and how I would treat myself, treat my family, whatever else. But God, there was a set time for me, and not God having an alarm clock or something, say, okay, all right, now it's time to do this. The time was already settled before the foundation of the world. That this is what I would be doing right now. So it took me all that time to do the right thing, and now here I am. You know, and I'm letting other people know God is calling. You know, Joe and Tom,
yes,
and Hank,
yes.
Jimmy. God is asking, where are you? We need you to stand up and be responsible, because a man has passed along his obligations, his responsibilities. The workforce is suffering. Violence is growing. You know, the kids are getting worse and worse because not necessarily no man in the family, but there is no family. You know, there's no family. And it's all because somebody is missing. Somebody is missing in the family, you know. And if that person would stand up with his kids or grandkids or great-grandkids, we can have a new beginning. And God can call out, Adam, where art thou? You know, here I am, Lord, doing your will. I leave my family, teaching my children, loving my wife, going to work, taking care of this and taking care of that, living the life that you would have us to live, you know. But all we can do is pray for the next man. We can't make nobody do nothing they don't want to do. Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's right. No matter what it is, you know, that I think I want to do. Because we have free will. We can choose to do whatever we feel like doing. You know? God's not going to make us. That would defeat the purpose of love.
God's not going to force us. That God's not going to force us to do anything. He gives us an opportunity for stuff, but it's our choice to accept it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have opportunity to choose what we want to do. I see we have another caller. I'm going to see if they have a comment. I put a topic out earlier about Adam. Where are you? This relates to back in the day. With Adam and Eve, the law was given to Adam, and his wife gave him some fruit, P8, and their eyes were opened, and they knew they were naked, and that's when sin entered in. And God came and asked Adam, where art thou? And Adam was hiding. And similar to today, Adam, or the man, where are you? You know, the man is out there with another man, or he's out there with another woman. He's not taking care of his family. He doesn't even want to get married to the woman who has his kids. He doesn't want to really have a family anymore. You know, do you have any input? Good evening. Do you have any input?
Good evening, sir. This is
yes,
your family in Philadelphia.
Well, thank God. My good, what? I'm not going to say nothing. Just thank God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
we're both here. Pastor George and Chaplain
good.
Valerie, we're both here.
Peace and blessings.
Peace
good,
and blessings.
Good. Yes.
This is our office phone.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
And so,
yes. Well, it's almost like asking you two, Chaplain Valerie and Pastor George, where have you been? Where are you?
Hallelujah.
You know. Yeah, but it says that, you know, God is
go
calling
ahead, honey,
for the man who is supposed to be the head. And where's he at? Where's the man? No, he's lost. He's lost.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Where is Adam? Where is Adam?
Yes, right.
Adam has been systematically taken out of our homes, out of our neighborhoods, out of our communities, and almost as if, Adam, we do love you. We need you. We need
that.
You to be reinforced by the Most High God and not run away and hide and sit on your hands.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We just talked about this.
And not take responsibility, not wanting to take responsibility, as though I don't have to do nothing. I don't have to do that. You can't make me do that. But it's a part of his job. You know what I'm saying? And he's missing an action.
Yeah.
He is. Definitely. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we all are old enough to know about that movie called Claudine, we know what happened.
Oh, definitely that. Yes, yes, yes. we ought to know what happened. Really?
Yes, we ought to know what happened.
That's
but
right.
We can
no
fix
man
that.
In the fact. Yeah, we can fix that. Yeah. We can pass it along to whoever, you know. And I even thought with my great, well, my grandkids then, the youngest ones, they're just starting out. They're teens, and I passed along this message to them and try to be an example for them. But it's like, they don't want an example. They want to be who they think they are. They want to be what the world is telling them who they are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yep, and that's not going to get them anywhere. No.
No, and it hasn't been.
Nope. That's right.
So we know that. We can trust God for everything. We can trust God for anything. And
that's
the question I pose to us and the little ones, can God trust you?
Oh, my God. Mm. Oh, wow. That
wow,
home.
Lord.
Yes, that hits home now. Yes, 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 yes. But there's so much wickedness in the world. It's not it's almost like that. The population just laid back, wide open, ready to accept anything that's coming down the pipe, except the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Satan, he is busy. He's doing his best. He's trying to get his numbers, you know, as many as he can. He is deceiving people left and right. And every now and then, he'll come through my head, because that's where the war is at. He'll come through my head with something that's like, wait a minute, you know, why do you think I want to fall back and do something I did years ago? I'm somewhat safe now. To a certain extent, if I keep on this road, I'm fairly kind of safe because I believe in the Most High. And he controls everything.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, in your experiences, you say, all right, youngins, Yes, I may have experienced this, but this is to teach you that you do not have to go this route. This route has you have a divine purpose in this life.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Whatever I went through, you don't have to go through it.
Yeah.
That's it. That sounds just like me. Yeah. Yeah. When I got back with the family, that's just what I told them. I said, you know, you don't have to do none of this. The drinking, the women, the whatever else, the money, you don't have to do none of that. I done did enough for all of us. So you can just start your life fresh right now, do the right thing, and things will be okay. But instead, I want to test the water. You know what I'm saying? But don't realize if they're not going to be strong enough against the enemy, and the enemy is going to overtake them, and they're not going to be able to come out of this because they're trying to do it by themselves. They need God. It is. Yes, it is something. Oh, real quick before I get too far, Miss Mary, she has one of her sons here from Seattle area, and they'll be here for his daughter's graduation, high school graduation.
All right.
Yeah, and they're staying with us, and she did tune in the beginning, but then she got lost somewhere in there. So that's what's going on here. You know, we're both blessed. We're still here. God is moving.
Oh, yeah.
God is working.
Oh,
yes, always. Always. Let me ask real quick, your ministry. Are you guys away from home doing ministry?
Well, you know, when we can, we are, you know, whether we're visiting someone in the hospital, we haven't done that yet, because a lot of things are going on, and the weather's been changing from cold. We're just trying to get a, you know, we're traveling in a limited space. Our vehicle is small.
And books and Bibles.
I understand. Well, you know that God makes a way out of no way.
Well,
most definitely. It's coming.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at the glass and the glass is empty, all you have to do is think in your mind. And you realize, oh, I done drank it. That's why the glass is empty. Not waiting on God to fill it up. He done drank it. That's why the glass is empty. Yeah. Yes. But God is good. He is good. We're going through, doing what we need to do. We're looking for greater things to happen before too long. We can't get stuck on the things that are going wrong in the world or in our lives, and we just have to step over it and say, Lord, I'm willing, and he gives us the strength to keep it moving. Okay?
That's right.
All right? Yeah.
And it's good to hear Miss Margaret doing her thing.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Miss Margaret is faithful, y'all. She is faithful because God is really working in her life.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he is. It's so amazing.
Yes.
I tell you one day soon, I'm going to be able to cut that stuff for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it. That is it. Yes, Lord. Okay. Did we, Chaplain, Pastor George, ever get your address?
We'll send it to you. We'll text it to you.
No.
Okay, great.
All right.
We'll make sure you get it, though.
Yeah, we'll do. Hey, that's one reason why we want to know. We want it, you know, so we can be in communication with you guys. Okay?
Always.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. A little different kind of communication. Writing.
I don't mind writing. I've written. I used to write poetry and stuff when I was young. But then as I got older, you know, it fell on the wayside because I got caught up in other stuff. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, it brings things back to your remembrance, things that we should have been doing, the right things that we were doing that we just continued. And we can always do those things over again. Always start over. Yeah. Good way to reach people. Okay. All right. Any last comments? Miss Margaret?
Just praise you, God.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Honey.
That's truly a blessing. Amen. Being able to praise him, that's a blessing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. One last thing on what we were talking about, the kids. The government mm-hmm. stepped in, and they just took all this stuff, and these kids are so crazy. They're talking about mm-hmm. alcohol, the cops on you. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're taking discipline out of the homes because they don't want to be put in jail.
Mm. Well, they don't. It's almost like the young people don't matter getting in jail. The situation in Richmond, Virginia, where the boy was graduating and his adversary, the devil had most likely gotten into that young boy. I think the one he shot was 18 and he was 19. He shot his Yeah, there were three lives right there, not just one. That was three lives gone. And they were, the two were young.
At graduation?
And the stepdad, graduation. Yes. And other people got hurt also, you know. So the enemy, he's out to one might have focus on this one person they don't like, but it doesn't matter. Once those bullets start flying, they do not have a name on them whatsoever.
No.
And people suffer.
No, they don't.
Yes, yes. But to God be the glory. To God be the glory. We thank him for his protection. Yes, we thank him for him leading us, you know. We thank him for having the light on. Yeah, yeah. Without that light, in darkness, you know. And when it's dark, real dark, you can't see your hand in your face. You know what I'm saying?
That's
and you
right.
don't know whether
you can't.
You don't know, whether you're stepping on the sidewalk or you get ready to step into the river. Yeah.
I'll fall off the bridge.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't know where you're going. You see, I think of that because I can't swim. And that's something I try to stay away from, even at the beach. I'm on the sand watching the wife over there doing her thing. No, I can't join you today, hon. I ain't learned how to swim. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
George,
yeah.
Pastor George
okay.
will say the same thing.
Yeah, thank God for that. I got somebody to go along with me. I ain't by myself.
right?
Yes. Okay. Okay, it's that time, y'all. I'm going to close out in prayer. Any prayer requests, you can call them out now before the Lord. And we'll just go to him. Most High God in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth, we truly honor you. And we truly thank you for the time you've given us, Father God. We thank you, Father God.
Thank you,
we thank you for the saints, Lord God. We thank you for your word.
Yes, God.
We thank you for health and strength. We thank you for our assignment, Father God. We thank you for the ability to be able to do your will, Father God, no matter what our circumstances are. We honor you,
Lord.
And give you the praise, and we glorify your holy name, and we give you the highest praise by saying, Hallelujah.
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 Yes.
Hallelujah.
Be the glory.
Yes, Lord.
To God be the glory. Keep us, Father God, and let your spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Let your spirit rest on us, Father God, each and every one. Thank you for the blessings of those that called, had comments, Father God. We thank you. Thank you for communication. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Shalom.
Amen.
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 Hello.
Praise God.
In a minute.
Mm-hmm. In a minute. Woo-hoo. Happy Feast. Yes.
Glory.
Shalom, everyone. Shalom.
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 Shalom.